Praise the Lord. Take your Bible to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, one of the great, great passages in all the Bible. I read the story about this little North Carolina town. Go right ahead, David. Go ahead.
I give the Lord's praise.
Sure.
What he's done in my life.
Amen.
He found my daughter among this sinful world.
Amen.
And today, they give me a result from that test that we was all concerned about, and that the prayers of this church have been answered.
Praise the Lord, David.
It's a tumor in my leg, but it's not cancer. It's
good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. I thank the Lord for answering prayer. Amen. What a blessing. Read the story about this little North Carolina town, supposedly a true story. Since I'm from North Carolina, I can talk about North Carolina. A little mountain town, a little volunteer fire department. Phone rang one day. Fellow at the fire department answered the telephone, said, "Fire department." And a frantic voice on the other end screamed, "Fire, send the fire truck." And before he could ask where the fire was, she hung up the telephone. Well, he stood by the telephone because he knew they'd be calling back in just a moment. So in a few minutes, the phone rang again. He picked up the phone, said, "Fire department." And a voice even more frantic screamed out, "Fire, send the fire truck." And again, before he could ask where the fire was, the lady hung up the phone. Well, he knew that somebody was in trouble. He could tell by the tone of their voice that the fire was serious. So he walked outside. He thought, well, maybe I'll look around, see smoke, and know where the fire is. But he couldn't see any smoke, no sign of where the fire was. So he went back to the telephone, and the phone in a few minutes rang again. And this time he answered the phone different. He said, and he picked up the telephone, and he said, "Where's the fire?" And a frantic voice on the other end screamed, "In the kitchen," and then hung up the telephone. Amen. It reminds me that sometimes we are not a very, very patient people. I want you to stand tonight, and I want to talk to you about the matter of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Learning how to wait on God. In a couple of weeks, we're going to get back into our normal Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to begin looking at the book of 1 John, but just a couple of weeks in between that, I just want to share with you some things that I trust the Lord will use in your heart. Psalm 37, this is a great, great psalm. I've preached from this psalm many times. In fact, I was in Bremen, Georgia on Monday night, Calvary Baptist Church in Bremen, Georgia. I preached from Psalm 37. It's just a great psalm. There's so many wonderful things in it. And I want you to look at some of them tonight. Psalm 37, verse 1, the Bible said, "Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Verse 3, Sherry sung about trusting in the Lord. Verse 3 said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That's a great promise, isn't it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, thine heart. Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Now look at verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 7 tells us to wait patiently for the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's learn tonight, if we can, a little bit about this matter of waiting on the Lord, learning how to wait on God. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we're so thankful we can trust you. And Father, tonight as we think about your word and what we've just read, we're reminded of those times when we can do nothing but trust you. So speak to us tonight and help us tonight to glean from your word and to gain some things that will help us. Help us to understand Your word, help us to understand your ways in our life, and may we leave tonight better appreciative of what you do and how you do it. So speak to us now, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Someone has written, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in a woman, never found in a man. Could I get an amen right there? Well, this matter of patience, this matter of waiting, we're not very good at waiting. We are more, you might say, a green light people than we are a red light people. We want to be going. We want to be getting something done. We don't want to stand still. We don't want to have to wait. We are driven in this generation. We are a fast generation. We have fast food. Everything is fast this. Anything that you do, it is all built around increasing our ability to do more and get things done even more quickly. We are not a very, very patient people. But yet as you look in the Bible, you'll find that the Bible speaks to us many times about learning to wait on God. And I know of no place in the Bible, and in just one particular statement, that emphasizes or has more to say to us about learning how to wait on God than in Psalm 37. So if you're with me tonight, let's follow the Bible and work our way through it and consider three things with me tonight. Fill in your little brochure there, and it'll help you to remember the things we look at. The first thing that I want you to notice tonight is what I want to call a summons for waiting. A summons for waiting. But you notice verse 7, he tells us to wait patiently for him. Here we have a summons to wait on God. Or you might say a call to wait on God. Here is a word of instruction. Here is a word of command that has been given to us. It is a word of instruction that tells us to wait patiently for him. So you might say, here is a summons that has been given to us by God to wait on the Lord. Now, why are we told in the Bible to wait on God? Why should we wait on God? It tells us to wait patiently. Why must we wait? Well, may I suggest two things. First of all, you'll find that the Word of God demands our waiting. The Word of God demands our waiting. I put one verse in your little bulletin there. It's Psalm 27, 14. And there the Bible said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There we're told to wait on God. Here is God's Word, here is the Bible telling us to wait on God. Another reference is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. The Bible said the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Again, here is God's Word demanding that we wait. Here is the Word of God telling us that we need to wait. I think about in the New Testament. I think about, in particular, 2 Peter chapter 1. And you that are familiar with the chapter, you know there that several times we are told to add certain things to our life. And when you have the ideal of adding there, it's not like you just go through a cafeteria and you pull out this and you add this to your life and you go through and you pick out whatever you want and that's what you make a part of your Christian life. No, that is not the ideal. The ideal is of adding is there's a constant developing of our life. There is a constant growing of our life. And as we mature, as 2 Peter 1 talks about being partakers of his divine nature, as we partake of his nature, we develop in our life and we mature in our life and we progress in our life. And the result is these things are being added or developed in our life. And you'll notice in that list there, he gives several things, but one of the things that he tells us to add to our life or to develop in our life is patience, the matter of waiting on God. So one of the reasons we are to wait patiently for him is because the Word of God demands our waiting. But second of all, not only does the Word of God demand our waiting, but the ways of God demand our waiting. Phillips Brooks, pastored in Boston in the late 1700s, and he's been called by many the greatest American preacher that ever lived. But Phillips Brooks was a very, very reserved man. He was known for his quiet way of life. He was known for his poise in life. He was a very disciplined man, a very, very quiet man in manner and deed and life and whatever. But a friend one day walked into his study and he found Phillips Brooks pacing back and forth his study like a caged lion. And his friend looked at him and said, "Phillips, what's the matter with you? What's the trouble?" And he whirled around and he said, "The trouble is I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." You see, friend, when you think about the ways of God in our life, I want to remind you tonight that God doesn't always move how we think He ought to move, and He doesn't always move when we think He ought to move. We have our own ideas, we have our own preconceived ideas about what God is to do and how God is to do it. And we come to God and we lay our petitions before God and we ask God for this, and in our mind we expect God to do it this way, we expect Him to do it at this particular time. But I want to remind you tonight that God does not operate according to our timetable. And God does not work necessarily when we think He ought to work or how we think He ought to work. He's God. He's sovereign. He has a right to do it any way He wants to and to do it any time He wants to. And because He is God, He will do it His own way and He will do it in His own time. I cannot rush God. I cannot push God. As Isaiah said, "My ways," or "His ways are not my ways, and His thoughts are not my thoughts." So as you learn about the ways of God and how God operates in our life as a believer, you're going to find out that God, there's going to be this necessity of you waiting on the Lord, that God is going to bring you to the place you will wait on Him. So when you talk about the matter of waiting, we may not like to wait, and we may be very impatient, but yet the Word of God demands our waiting, and the ways of God demand our waiting. But that's the summons. Wait patiently for Him. But the second thing I want you to notice is this, and we have this implied in our text, a season of waiting. You not only have a summons to wait on God, wait patiently before Him, but the words here, wait patiently for Him, would imply there is a period of time in our life when we are waiting on God. Or to put it another way, there is that season in which we must wait patiently on Him. Now, the Bible often compares the workings of God in our life to a season. Psalm 1 talks about bearing fruit in His season. And Galatians talks about how we will bear fruit and reap in due season. So the ways of God and the workings of God are often compared to a season. But here He tells us to wait. And again, the ideal is that there's this period of time in our life when we are to wait patiently on the Lord. Now let me just say a couple of things about this time of waiting. Are you with me now? Say amen. We're to wait for Him. But what about that time when we are to wait patiently for Him? And the ways of God in our life and the will of God in our life, here is this time when we are to wait and we're to wait patiently. Now, what is that time like? May I suggest two things? For one, this time can be a very troubling time in your life. And I say waiting on God. I know we have in our own mind this idea that waiting on God means that I'm going to sit down in my recliner, I'm going to pull my footstool up, I'm going to give me a big glass of iced tea, I'm going to lean back, I'm not going to worry about anything, I'm just going to leave it all up to God, I'm just going to wait on Him. But waiting on God doesn't necessarily work that way, and that's not what waiting means. Waiting on God in this period of time when you have to wait on Him can be a very, very troubling time in your life. For example, it is during this time that God will seem to be many ways to you. Let me just give you three of them. Write them down. During this time of waiting, it could seem that God is indifferent. Here's a time in which it seems like God doesn't care one thing about you. Here you are. This is a situation in your life. Here are the needs in your life. This is what you're going through in your life. You are coming to God. You are claiming His word. You are praying about these needs in your life. And what does God do? Nothing. And furthermore, it seems like He doesn't even care about what you're going through. He don't seem to hear what you're saying. He doesn't seem to care about what you're going through. It seems sometimes, it seems as if God is totally indifferent to where you are and what you're going through. During this time of waiting, it also can seem that God is not only indifferent, but that He's inactive, that He's not doing anything.
He's not working to answer your prayer. He's not working to meet your need. He's not working to solve your problem. He's not doing anything. Here you are. These are the needs of your life. These are the burdens of your heart. But God's not doing anything. At least it appears that way. And it could be during this time when you are waiting on Him. It could seem that He's indifferent. It could seem that He's inactive. And it may even seem that He's inconsistent. Over here, so-and-so. They get up and they testify how God has answered their prayer. They had a physical need or they had a spiritual need. They went to God and God answered their prayer and God met their need. And all the time, for weeks and months and maybe years, you've had your own need. And you've been talking to God about your need. And you've been coming to God about your need and praying about your situation and praying about your need. But here so-and-so, they prayed and God answered their prayer, but here you are, He didn't answer your prayer. Maybe with your children. And as a parent knows, nothing can break the heart of a parent any more than a child leaving God and wandering from God. It's like taking a dagger and putting it in your heart and just ripping every way, just tearing your heart out. And here you are, you're praying about, God, would you bring my daughter back? Would you bring my son back? Would you save my daughter? Would you save my son? And you pray and you pray and you pray, and they get further and further and further away. But on Sunday night, someone gets up and says, thank God for bringing my baby back. Thank God for bringing my son back. Thank God for bringing my daughter back. And we rejoice about that. But here you sat and you think, well, God, why didn't you do that for me? Why didn't you answer my prayer? You see, during this time of waiting, it can seem that God doesn't care, He's indifferent. It can seem that He's inactive, that He's not doing anything, and it can even appear as if He is inconsistent. He'll work for one, but He won't work for the other. It's almost like there's an inconsistency on the part of God. The book of Habakkuk is a great book. And you remember, we went through the book of Habakkuk one time. And we looked at the prophet there, and he began the chapter by talking about the burden of Habakkuk. Here's a man with a burden on his heart. And in the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. The word cry means to literally scream at God. He says, Lord, how long am I going to have to scream at you and you won't do anything? How long am I going to have to pray and you won't hear? And he said, I even cry unto thee out of violence and thou wilt not say. God, look at the day we live in, he says. Look at your people. God, I'm praying on the behalf of them and for your glory. And I'm even screaming out at you, but you don't do anything. And you remember we saw that he was a discouraged man, a disillusioned man, a disturbed time. He was learning to wait on God. And during this time of waiting can be a very troubling time. Are you still with me? Second of all, it can be even, let me take it even a step further. It can be, second of all, a very tormenting time. Look at verse 7 there, and look at the words, wait patiently. Two words in our Bible, but they're actually from one word. When he said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. There's one word, those two words, wait patiently, they come from one word, and they contradict our popular conception of what it means to wait on God. Waiting on God doesn't necessarily mean you sit back and take your hands off of it, and you don't worry about it, and you just go on your little merry way, knowing that somewhere God will take care of it. It don't work that way, and that's not what it is to wait. But it's a very tormenting time. Look at the word there. The word literally means to twist or to twirl. It means to take something and twist that thing and wring that thing. Or something spinning in a daisy spin. To twist or to twirl in a circular or a spiral manner. I guess the word you appreciate even more if you understand how the word was used. In those days, the word sometimes was used to speak of someone writhing in pain. Someone that had been severely injured. Someone maybe had a leg broken. And you can imagine the agony they were in. They were writhing in pain and writhing in agony. Sometimes a word was used to describe a woman in labor. Someone travailing in birth. In those final few hours of bringing a child into the world. And you ladies know that pain and the agony of those moments there. That's the way the word was used. Wait patiently. A time in which it's like life is taking us and wringing the very life out of our soul.
It's like we're in this period of time, and it seems like God doesn't care about what we're going through, that He's not doing anything about our needs in life, and He's not working on our behalf. He's doing things for others, but here He's bypassing me altogether. During that time, it's almost like life and the circumstances and situation of life are just wringing the very life out of our soul. Like a woman in labor, like someone writhing in pain. It is that time of waiting, not knowing what God is doing, not knowing where God is at, not knowing if He's going to do anything, just a time when it seems like He's 1,000 miles away and you are left there seemingly all alone. It can be a very, very tormenting time. I'll be honest with you. Some of the most difficult times in my life was when I didn't know what God was doing. Now, I like it when I know what He's doing. I like it when I hear Him talking. I like it when I feel His presence and I hear His voice and He's guiding me every step of the way and telling me this is what I want and this is where I'm going. I like that. I enjoy that when I can walk with Him and know what He's doing and walk hand in hand with Him through a process. But some of those times when it seems like He is indifferent, inactive and inconsistent, those can be some of the most agonizing times of our life. Amen? So there's a summons. Wait patiently. Which would imply there is a season of waiting. Wait patiently. A time when we have to wait. But here's the question. Here's really what I want you to say. And that is thirdly, the steps to waiting. How do you wait on God? He tells us to wait patiently. Here it is, a time in your life when it doesn't seem like God is doing anything. Heaven has shut itself up. Here you are. And you got these needs in your life and it doesn't seem like He's doing anything. Well, how do you wait? He says, wait patiently for Him. Well, how do you wait? Look in verse 1. Notice the phrase, fret not thyself. You see that phrase in verse 1. Look down in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of Him. You find a section here. The psalm is divided in certain sections. Section 1 begins with verse 1. It ends in verse 7. And in between those two fret nots, you have the steps of waiting. He tells us not to fret. Look at the word fret there. Fret not thyself. It's a word that literally means to blaze up. Like a fire, like a spark in a little patch of dry grass. And it's a little spark there and a little smoke has been rising. All of a sudden it catches and blazes up. The word was sometimes translated angry. Had the ideal of being displeased. The ideal is of an inward feeling that we are having during this time in our life. Here is this time when it seems like God is indifferent, God is inactive, God is inconsistent, and here we are struggling with everything that is going on. Struggling, Lord, why don't you care? Don't you love me anymore? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why won't you do something in my life? Why are you blessing so-and-so and not blessing me? Why did you answer so-and-so's prayer and you don't answer my prayer? On the inside, it's like a fire blazing up. And like we're getting angry and getting bitter. It's on the inside. Now, if we were honest tonight, many of us would have to admit that we're very good about disguising the inside with what we show on the outside. Amen? We'll come to church on Sunday, we'll smile from ear to ear, and we'll have that holy glow about our faces, and we'll just look like that we are in line. If there's a vacancy in the Trinity, at least I will be nominated for that vacancy. We've got that holy look about us, and we look like everything is going well. But on the inside, it's a different story. You know what I'm talking about? It reminds me, in fact, I think about a story I read one time about these soldiers in Korea. And they got them a little place there and they hired this little Korean boy to take care of their cooking and their washing of the clothes and things like that. And so they had this little Korean boy and he had just a wonderful attitude about things. I mean, he just smiled all the time. I mean, he just grinned and he just went on. He had such a positive attitude about everything. Always smiling, always happy. Never said anything negative. Never responded in a negative way. Just went on in a positive way. And these American soldiers, they were all the time pulling jokes on this little fella. They'd nail his shoes to the floor, but he'd take a hammer and pull the nail out and smile and just go on and do his work. They would balance buckets of water at the door. And when he would walk in the door, the water bucket would turn over and just drench a little old fella. And he'd dry himself off and just smile and go on and do his work. They'd put grease on the knobs of the stove, and he'd grab the stove handle and get grease all on, but he'd just wipe it off, and he'd just smile and go right off. Never, never complained, never got mad, always had a positive attitude. Well, these soldiers got to feeling bad about how they were treating him. So they called him in one day, and they apologized to him. They said, "We've been feeling bad about how we've treated you. Said you always smile, you never get mad, you never get upset, and we're not going to pull any more tricks on you. We're not going to pull any more jokes on you." And a little Korean boy looked at him and said, "You mean no more sticky on knob?" And they said, "No more grease on the knobs." "You mean no more buckets of water over the door?" And they said, "No more buckets of water over the door." "You mean no more nail me shoes to the floor?" And they said, "Well, no more. No, we will not nail your shoes to the floor anymore." He smiled. "Okay, me no more spit and soup." Well, sometimes on the outside, we look like we're handling things well, amen? But on the inside, we're not doing a very good job at it. That's what he's talking about. Fret not thyself. And between these two fret nots, he tells us how to wait on God. You ought to learn how to wait on God tonight. Jot these things down. The Bible's very plain there. Look at it. Verse 3, he tells us, first of all, to trust in the Lord. Look at it, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Instead of fretfulness, there is faith. Just taking God at His word. Now, when you're going through that time in your life and it seems like God doesn't love you anymore, and you're going through that time in your life when it seems like He's not doing anything for you, and it seems like He's been inconsistent, what do? You just trust in Him. His word is true. You believe this Bible tonight? Say amen. Amen. There's not one error, not one flaw, not one mistake, not one contradiction in one single page of this Bible. It's the word of God, and you can trust in what God says. And you may not feel God, and you may not see God, and you may not sense God, but His word is true. And you can depend on God and have faith in God and trust in God. His word will be fulfilled. His will will be fulfilled. His work will be fulfilled. Trust in Him. Let God's word be your guide. Let God's will be your goal. And as one writer said, "I will not doubt though all my ships at sea come home drifting with broken mast and sails. I shall believe the hand which never fails." Trust God. Look at the second thing to do. Not only trust in the Lord, but verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Look at it. One of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn in the Christian life is that your blessings do not come from anybody but the Lord Himself. Let me say it again. One of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn in your life is that your blessings can only come from the Lord. That your blessings are not flesh originated. I mean, your blessings do not depend on whether you feel good or not. Sometimes we'll come to church on Sunday morning. If we feel good, we'll shout it out. But if we don't feel good, "I've had a cold this week. My throat's been sore. I've had a headache all week." We'll sit on the pew like we're dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What's your flesh got to do with your blessings? Not one thing. Your blessings come from God. You don't look to how good the choir sings or whether you get blessed. You don't look to Brother Ken and what kind of message he brought, whether you got blessed. You don't go to a quartet. We don't have to bring in a quartet, crank the speakers up to get a blessing from God. Our blessings come from Him. And all we got to do is delight ourselves in Him. Not in the church, not in the preacher, not in the choir, but delight yourself in the Lord. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if Brother Ken doesn't preach good, you still get a blessing. If you delight yourself in the Lord, the choir's awful, then you still get a blessing. And if you delight yourself in the Lord and the service around you is dead, it's 4 o'clock and nobody else is getting anything out, it doesn't matter whether anybody shouted, whether anybody said amen, whether the service was high or low, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you'll go home with a blessing from God. And so during that time, don't live focused on what is going on. And don't struggle with what you don't understand about God. Rejoice in what you do know about God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Look at the third thing in verse 5. How do you wait on God? You trust in him in verse 3. You delight yourself in him in verse 4. And verse 5, you commit your way unto the Lord. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love that. Look at it again. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What does it mean to commit our way unto God? It simply means to put our life in the hands of God. Put our life in the hands of the one who holds tomorrow. And you listen very carefully, since he holds the future, then the best thing I can do is give him the present. Can I say it again? Since he holds the future, the best thing I can do is give him the present. Commit thy way unto God. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I commit my way to you. I don't know where you're going. I don't know why you're not answering prayer. I don't know why you're not moving in my life, but I commit my way unto you. And look at the last thing in verse 7. He says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And simply mean the rest simply means just to have confidence in him, that he's going to do what he said he would do, and that he would be what he said he would be, and he'll bring to pass exactly what he said he would bring to pass. Now that's resting in him. So here's this matter of waiting on God. There are times when we don't know what he's doing. There's times we don't know where he's going. There's times we don't see him. There's times we do not sense him. But this is what we do. We wait patiently for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Wait. Take your prayer sheet for tonight. Put those truths to practice in your life. Our missionary of the week is Chris and Nancy Coates with Word of Life. We love Chris and Nancy, and they have been here many, many times over the years. I'll always remember Nancy for one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. Involved Nancy Coates. From behind, she looks just like Angel, my daughter-in-law. And when Angel was carrying Tanner, Nancy was carrying her baby, whoever she had, or whatever boy or girl there. And they were here one Sunday morning. And I walked in the back door, and I saw her from the back. I thought it was Angel. She looked like Angel from the back. I walked up without looking in her face, put my arm around her, reached over and patted her belly, and said to Opal Outlaw or somebody, I said, what do you think about this fat little girl here? And then I looked up, and it wasn't Angel. Say amen right there. It was Nancy Coates. Anyway, we took them on for support. That helped. Amen right there. But we've had a great laugh out of that. But Chris and Nancy, let's pray for them. Our church of the week is right up the street here, Edgewood Baptist Church. And Brother Champ Agin, we want to remember them tonight. Our hospital list in VA Hospital at the York Center, Calvin C. York Center, Carolyn Bokina, she's recovering from hip surgery, Siskins, Eileen Dendy, and then Doc Woody had knee surgery, Donna Kelly, this is Loretta Kelly's daughter-in-law, 39, had a very serious stroke, we'll remember her, and Marie Williams, a friend of Barbara LaCroix. So let's remember these. All of you that will, let's come and gather around the altar. And let's take our needs to the Lord in prayer and lift up these tonight. Let's pray for our mission of the week, our church of the week. Let's remember all these things and let's just lay them before God and trust him that he is all that he said he would be. Let's pray. Our Father tonight, in Jesus' name, I thank you that we can trust you. Father, there are times when we are told to wait on you. There are times when we have no other choice but to wait on you. And so, Father, as we come tonight, it is essential that we learn to wait. Lord, help us to learn to wait by trusting in you and by delighting ourselves in you and by committing our way unto you and by resting in you. During this time, Lord, when we cannot trace you, Lord, we can trust you. And during this time when we don't know where you're going, we can trust in you that you're God and you're doing nothing in our life to bring us harm, but to bring us blessing. So, Father, tonight, teach us to wait. You tell us to wait. There are times when you demand that we wait. So teach us and help us to take your word and learn how to wait on you. Father, we ask you now to bless our missionary of the week. We thank you for Chris and Nancy. We ask you to bless them as they serve with Word of Life. I pray you bless their ministry overseas. Use them in a special way. I pray, Lord, now for our sister church and churches in the area. In particular tonight, we pray for Edgewood Baptist, for Brother Agin. Pray you bless them. God, may the hand of God be upon them. Prosper them. Bless them. Father, for our folk tonight that are in the hospital, I pray you would touch them and meet their needs and watch over them. Father, I thank you for how you've answered prayer. Continue to answer prayer. Now bless us on the Lord's Day. Give us a great day. I pray tonight for our nation. Father, we have a very, very sick nation. We have many problems in this country. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless our nation as we come to this 4th of July and celebrate our 200 years plus of freedom and independence. May we recognize and may we not forget that there would not be independence if it were not for you. This nation would not exist if it were not for you. And the foundation of this country is a testimony of what you did and how you brought this nation up in spite of those in our day and time that would try to push you out of it. But yet we thank you tonight for your role in this nation, and we don't want to forget you on this 4th of July festivities. So on Sunday, bless and may it be a glorious day, not only as we celebrate our independence, but God, as we rejoice in our salvation in the Lord. So continue moving here, Lord. Bless now. We're a few weeks away from breaking ground. Father, meet every need on Sunday. I pray you bless our giving. Father, may we give generously. May we give liberally. Father, we're about to see some wonderful things happen here. And we're about to see a great gift of God be placed in this place and be given to us. We're just days and literally weeks away from it beginning to happen. So I pray, Lord, you'll help us to sacrifice and to give as unto you. Bless on the Lord's Day in a special way. Thank you for how you're blessing. We've been thrilled and excited about how you provided and met needs and are meeting needs. God, continue to bless now. Thank you for our folk. Thank you for this church. And I pray you'll be glorified in all we do in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship as you leave. Tell your brother and sister in the Lord that you love them.